Hey guys, welcome to another episode of East Coast Rams. I am your co-host Ashton here with my awesome co-host Zach. Zach, you were off last week enjoying a lot of family festivities. First off, happy late Thanksgiving. How are you doing? How's the family? And just real quickly, how was the trip?
Oh, we had a great time. We went to Disney World, had so much fun, got to ride all the rides. You know, we got to ride Guardians and Tron, and we had a blast, and I feel rejuvenated. I feel like I have a lot more energy than I did, you know, a couple weeks ago. Finally got vacation, work life put aside, you know, just got to enjoy family time, got to rest, relax, rejuvenate myself, and I am ready. And the Rams are delivering in that, continue to deliver that on back-to-back-to-back wins, and we're going to break all that down. But Ashton, how are you, my man?
Doing good. I have been doing the opposite of you. I have been working like 8 or 9 days straight, but, you know, having a lot of fun doing it. Vacation is coming for me in a few weeks here. Christmas is a big time when I take days off, but I'm happy you were able to enjoy some time with your family. You got to take a break from the podcast. We had Andy on. He was fantastic as always.
Yeah. You guys did a great job. Did a great job last week. So good. Kudos to you guys.
Yeah. Always love having him on. Really good at the draft stuff too. I'm going to have to lean on him more this year for the draft stuff because I have not watched a lot of college ball this year. It's something I've been more busy. So that's kind of fallen to the wayside. But just quick recap of the last few games, Zach. Can you give us your kind of a reaction to the Arizona game since we kind of missed it?
Yeah, and I actually got to watch it while I was on vacation, so it was super exciting. And yeah, man, it's one of those games where I was so excited the whole time. Kind of with this Cleveland game again, you know, I was kind of worried on the opening drive with Flacco, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But when it really came to Arizona, you know, it's, you know, the Rams have their card, and it just was just, I don't know, play after play, I was just getting so excited. And, you know, I had to try to be quiet because my kids were napping while I was watching the game. But man, oh man, I was super excited. This team going into this season, you know, we were unsure of what it was going to be. We knew that it was going to have to rely a lot on their offense, and the defense was just, you know, it was going to be a brand new defense. But that game had, and then going through the rest of the season, we've seen the offense kind of struggle, but the defense kind of keep them in the game for the most part. On even the ones that they've, you know, they really lost bad, the defense was keeping them in the game. This is when the offense really started to shine. And then they again took that again into this coming week, which we'll break down. But, you know, the offense really has been our focal point over the last several weeks, and they're really stepping up their game, especially within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Offense was something we felt like you saw sparks of it in the first 6-7 weeks, like sparks, and you were like, you know, it felt like the timing was off in some things, like some of these younger players weren't getting it. The O-line wasn't gelling completely. Stafford had nicks and knacks there. Kupp got re-injured with his ankle. So, like, so many things were kind of discombobulated on the offense. And, like, you would see good splash play or, like, a really good drive and then, like, nothing for three more quarters. That's not the case the last 3 or 4 weeks. This game was still close against the Browns, and we'll kind of go into that first, or not first. We'll go into that after we talk about some of the more recent news, and then we'll kind of recap the Browns game.
Yeah, so let's start with the news. The biggest news of the day is the Rams are signing another kicker. We're on to kicker number 3. So the Rams are going to sign veteran Mason Crosby, former Packer kicker, who was released this past offseason, played with the Packers for 16 years. And so this would only be Crosby's second NFL team. Currently signed to the practice squad, but I'm assuming they'll release, it's Haversick. And then he will be promoted up to the active roster spot within the next 24 hours, I would assume. What is your big takeaway from this? I mean, this was Crosby was actually brought in to the facility, at least back when they let Brett Maher go, when they were trying to find a new kicker. But they decided to go with, you know, with Haversick, who didn't have any NFL experience. What's your kind of takeaway on this whole kicker carousel that's happening within the last, you know, 12 weeks?
I mean, I wasn't a big fan of bringing in, how do you pronounce it? Hesick?
Haversick?
Yeah, I'm sorry to butcher his name. I wasn't a fan bringing him in. I was open to the fact that maybe he got better from his college stats. And he got an endorsement from our former kicker, Matt Gay. So I was open to all that. It didn't work out. And I think we could see that. He didn't have a lot of distance. And his accuracy, while in the first game or two, was like fine. It started getting worse and worse over time. And again, I was not a fan of cutting Maher when we did. I thought blaming him for a loss when you force him to kick 50-plus field goals was stupid. And he was relatively solid inside the 40 for us. And we signed a guy who started missing 40-yarders. So I don't understand it. I think Crosby is slightly worse overall than Maher. He's better than, you know, the kicker we just let go. So,
I mean, you know, I said this kind of on X the other day, and I was, or yesterday, or this earlier today, man, this feels like a whirlwind of a day, but earlier today. And I was just like, you know, this feels kind of late. I mean, this should have happened weeks ago. This is kind of a whole Wentz thing again. Like, we should have picked this up before things got this bad. And you have to kind of think of it as kind of the Rams back end is like, realistically, Crosby only has probably a few years left. You know, Vinatieri, I know he was a kicker for a long time into his 40s. But that's just not really what happens when you're a kicker. And so Crosby is going to be a short-term solution. I don't really see him playing longer than this season, realistically. I thought that they were probably going for a younger, but at the same time, like, you know, if you were trying to be competitive, you want to play with everything you got this season. And it just feels like a little too late now that they are in a better spot at a playoff spot. That's why they're making this move. But again, we probably wouldn't even be in this situation if we would have had him, you know, back when we let Maher go.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a terrible like record, dude. I'm still more of like, I wish we would have gone after like Robbie Gould and given him a shot for a year. You know.
Sure. Know. No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, if you look at Crosby's stats, I mean, he's been a fairly good kicker for most of his career. Yeah. He's 86. 86, yep. 94 in extra points. Longest was 56 last season. And then he scored a total of 112 points. You know, fairly good. I mean, you know, 86% is pretty good. I should have looked up what was his, let's see, 50 plus, he was 1 for 4. So he's not going to be your plus 50, but anything under that, he only missed one under 50.
So all time, Mason Crosby is 81.5% in his field goal tries.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that was during his early start where he was only hitting the 70s. Realistically, if you look over the last 5 years, he's only had one under 80% and most of them were above 85. So I think kickers are going to have off years. And we saw that with Matt Gay. I mean, he's a clear example of, you know, you can't judge a book by, you know, one season. But if you're trying to make the playoffs, obviously you cannot continue to have someone who's going to miss sub 50 yard field goals.
So here's the important thing is from 1 to 19 yards, he's 10 out of 10. And out of 20 to 29, he's 112 out of 114. So he's missed two field goals inside the 30. That's good. Like, that, we need that. We need to not miss those chip shots. From 30 to 39, it's a little bit worse. He's 131 out of 150. So 19 misses out of what? He has like 14. So you're talking about maybe a miss and a half every year from the 40. So
87% from under 40.
That's better than what we had, to be honest. And then he was 99 out of 133 from 40 to 49. Again,
So 74%.
Yeah. Again, I just much rather. I thought Maher was overall more appealing.
I mean, he did, but I mean, he just didn't do a lot. I mean, he just kept missing, and I think that was just the problem. And I know the Rams put him in. I know, but the Rams put him in bad spots, which I get. I don't know. Bad blood.
They literally started going for it on fourth in the middle of the field because they did not trust this kicker.
I mean, they did the same thing with Maher. They at some point they started to throw the ball because they couldn't trust his accuracy, and then they try it again the next week, and it just didn't end up right. But yeah. Anyways, we got Mason Crosby, so you know we'll see how that ends up for us moving forward. I kind of agreed with you. I kind of wanted to go with Gold because I thought he was going to be a better opportunity, but for whatever reason they decided not to go that way. Maybe because he was a 49er. I don't know, but you know, we will have Mason Crosby for pretty much the rest of this season. I doubt that they'll try to pick somebody else up after that.
You would have to have a really bad game.
Really, really bad game. Some other news: Rams nominate Cooper Kupp for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. This is an awesome recognition. Cooper Kupp, he's a man of the people. He puts a lot of his time and effort into supporting many, many, many different causes. So big kudos to him. So please go out there and support him, nominate him, you know, vote for him. And hopefully Cooper Kupp can add to his legacy. You know, honestly, he's not having the greatest year because of injuries and not playing so much. And, you know, you know, the stuff he does off the field is more important than what he does on the field. And, you know, he's super productive in the community with the youngsters, things like that. So someone who definitely, I think, really deserves this award. That's my two cents on it. Any thoughts from you?
No, Cooper Kupp deserves it. He's been a good pillar of the community, and go and vote for him. Also, it looks like Puka and AD are leading their peers for Pro Bowl voting. I would recommend you guys go and vote for every Ram on the roster, especially Puka and AD. We'll talk about Puka, and eventually, Zach, we'll get to an episode where we preview the draft and we talk about the last draft class. And that's going to be a long series of episodes because this draft class is, you know, you remember, Zach, when I said, like, you know, we would have a chance to compete with this team if they knocked out of the park this draft class and hit everyone, because we both agreed on the, like, overall makeup of this class, what positions they went after. It was just, did they hit on the players? And man, they have, and like, what can we say? Puka's amazing.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into really the last story, which kind of happened during the Cleveland game, is just that Puka, you know, he's having an unbelievable season, and now he's already surpassed having the most receiving yards of a rookie for the Rams. So you know, he's just keeps building his rookie accolade. He was again, we won't know until tomorrow, so the Thursday till after the podcast, but he's also up for Pepsi Rookie of the Year, or Pepsi Zero Rookie of the Week award again. If he does win that one. That would be his fourth of the season. So it's just, it would be crazy that he would have, you know, pretty much one fourth of the awards for that specific topic. Also, I am wearing my my new Puka Future is Bright shirt. So these are actually available. I know probably by the time you listen to this, it probably will not be available for order again, but please go check out my man, Vince. You can find him on X, find him. I retweet him all the time. It may be his last run of the Future is Bright tees. So if you're interested in that, please go check his site out. Small plug for him. Let's talk about this Browns game.
Yeah. You know, your boy Flacco.
My boy Flacco. I mean, he played very well. He came out of the gate pretty hot. I thought this was going to mean, you know, when they ran down the field and got the touchdown, I kind of thought, oh man, this is not going to be good. I mean, we're already facing a really good defense, and now you're adding Joe Flacco, who, you know, hasn't played a game in over 11 games as a starter. And, you know, he was slinging them down the field. Like, he still has an arm. Now, the accuracy, or he was overthrowing a lot of people, that did happen. But he does have an arm. He was efficient for the most part. So it really startled me at least during the opening drive. Like, this is going to be a problem. So that's kind of my initial thoughts, because the Rams, you know, it was a pretty tight game up until the third quarter, and the defense
early fourth.
Yeah. And I mean, the defense was just like, you know, keeping them in control a little bit, but, you know, they were still driving down the field and eating up a good portion of the clock.
Yeah, I think with the first drive in defense, people have to understand a lot of that was them trying to test different things, see how the offense reacted, different coverages, formations, what they were doing. Now, I would prefer them not give up a touchdown out of like 5 out of the last 6 games on the opening drive, or that might be full season. But either way, they need to stop the touchdowns, because eventually that's going to hurt us, especially against a good team like Baltimore. So, yeah, I mean, Flacco had a good day for the most part. He took his checkdowns. He made smart plays. You know, he only took a few shots downfield, burn us on a few of them for the most part, but defense was able to adjust and eventually started getting stops and even a takeaway. That is the one thing this defense is missing. While they do a good part in containing other offenses, they're not explosive and they don't get takeaways. And I think that's the only difference between this defense and a top 10 defense, is the takeaway element. And if they can start doing that, they can be very dangerous, but we struggle to get takeaways and we struggle to get pressure. And I think we saw that, like, Flacco not getting sacked until like the last 5 minutes is not great. I know the Browns have a good O-line, but we got to get pressure, especially when he's having to hold the ball as long as he is. And he can't move, so it's not like you're going against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, but he has that deep threat arm too. I mean, if those receivers would have caught some of those balls, I mean, it would have been a lot worse of a situation than it was. You know, Flacco did his job coming in as the third string quarterback, or fourth. I think that was the fourth Cleveland QB this season, but he did an admirable job. But I think the biggest thing that came down to the winning of this team was in the difference of the O-line. When you have Matthew Stafford, who, you know, he also wasn't as pressured as he was in weeks past. He did not get a sack. He only had 2 QB hits. When you make sure that your offensive line, if you see that there might be some struggle, I saw multiple times, like lots of times, where Stafford was changing where his tight end was positioned for better for a better spot. And that's something that I feel like I haven't seen over the last several weeks, where they were shifting their offensive line or shifting their offensive weapons so that, you know, they were giving Stafford more time in the pocket. And that's what you need. Stafford with a clean pocket is a scary Stafford, and every team should be threatened. If you give him more than 3 seconds in that pocket, he is going to make you pay for it. And he saw that. And especially with that Puka shot, the 70 yarder, like, that's just an example of what he can do to make you regret every decision that you've made since the beginning of the game. And those kinds of threats help you with the rest of the game and making sure that, you know, you're keeping everything honest and you have to account for X, Y, and Z and things like that. So, the offensive line gets the biggest thumbs up this week. It's the biggest game ball, really, because they kept Stafford clean, which allowed him to throw the ball, which allowed him to make less mistakes. No interceptions, no turnovers, which is something the Rams need if they are going to have any success making a playoff spot.
No, I agree. And let's point out, like, Alaric Jackson had one of his best games of the season. Did really good. Now, granted, with the asterisks, went against a slightly hurt, you know, Garrett out on the edge. It's just like Myles Garrett. Like, even a hurt Myles Garrett is better than 90% of NFL pass rushers. So he did a great job out there. I really think him not getting sacked once against this Browns front, I mean, that's progress. Fans have asked for this. Yep. I think that's enough to stop him from losing his job after this year? Probably not. Like, he's going to have to work hard and produce a similar result against a few top-tier teams like the Ravens, like the 49ers. And if he can, I think he has a shot.
Who are we talking about? Stafford?
Alaric Jackson.
Alaric Jackson.
On the left side, in that left tackle slot, because I think he's been on the hot seat. Like, he's had some bad games, and this was a really good game by him.
It was a good game. And like I said, I think it does help when you kind of also, when you see kind of more pressure going on the left side, you shift some of your tight ends, you shift, you know, Kyron Williams over to that side, just to kind of make sure that we're having some, we're having a little bit added protection. I think Kyron Williams also did a good job of, you know, protecting Stafford too, you know, giving him that extra, I mean, Kyron Williams isn't going to, you know, fully stop somebody, but he's giving him an extra second to throw that ball. And that's really what Stafford needs and was able to execute. But let's continue on Kyron Williams. What did you think about his performance?
I mean, this was kind of a situation where I don't blame Kyron Williams for the first three quarters because they were stacking the box against them. I would recommend you guys listen to 11 Personnel with Jordan Rodriguez. She went into good detail. More exactly how they were showing specific looks to basically say, you're not running on us. After last 2 weeks, good luck. Like, we're stacking the box. You can try to throw against our top-ranked DBs, but we're not letting you run. And you know what the Rams did? We set up the run by passing. And I'm happy the fan base, at least to a certain extent, wasn't whining this game about running when the circumstances didn't dictate it. Don't get me wrong. There have been games where we should have ran it when we're averaging 4 or 5 yards a carry that McVay doesn't, and he got pass happy. But this isn't one of those games. This is one of those games where I think like 70% of the snaps, they're showing a counter run look in the defense. And so we threw it on them, and Stafford was able to distribute the ball. And, you know, Kyron made the plays when he needed to in the first three quarters, did dirty work. And I think that paid dividends whenever they started shifting their defense to try to account for Puka and some of the over top shots we got on him. And that opened up the running game, and he did good when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and you know, in the first half, the Rams only had 33 rushing yards. They ended up with what it was about 120 yards. So
I think Kyren had like 80 on the yard, and then like 40 or 50 in the air.
Yeah, and then Puka had 30 on the ground, and he actually had more if they didn't get that penalty called back. You know, that was a 30-yard run that Puka even had that I believe got
40 yards, I think.
40 yard. So, you know, the running game was there. It was later in the game, but again, they didn't diverge away from it. They still kept trying, and even if it was only 1 or 2 yards, it allowed them to it allowed them to stay on their toes and be able to work with that. So I was very pleased with that. I mean, this was a, you know, and the funny thing is, like, Royce Freeman, he only had one carry the entire game. And, you know, they tried with him in the first half, and it just didn't really go anywhere. So, but Kyren Williams is the dog. He's putting in the work. He's being efficient. He's being efficient in every aspect that he's been asked to do. And that is what you need. I mean, you got 21 carries for 88 yards and one touchdown for receiving or for rushing. And then he had 3 catches for 24 yards, was targeted 5 times. So, you know, it's just one of those things where he keeps just stacking the accolades as well. And this is the reason why the Rams need a run game, so that they can also have their pass game. Stafford is at his best at a passer when the defense has to play run pass. If they know that he's going to throw the ball, Stafford is more likely to throw an interception. They're more likely to see what he's doing than when they have to try to fight, you know, are they going to run? Are they going to pass? Are they going to jet sweep? Things like that. And, you know, we might have found out jet sweeper in Puka Nacua. I mean, shoot, don't do Ben Skowronek toss back or whatever. Give it to Puka, because he keeps getting at least, you know, 10 to 14 yards every time he's getting thrown that. So he's the new Robert Woods. You know, Robert Woods could get some yardage with a jet sweep.
The person taking the Robert Woods role is actually Robinson. Maybe he'll get some of those because he had a good game. Give him a little shout out there. But going back to Puka, I mean, that's what me and you said when we saw tape of Puka after he's drafted. We weren't expecting 1,000 yards. We were expecting, like, hey, maybe this guy can take some of the snaps from Skowronek, from some of the gadget plays. A big thing pop on tape for me was some of the sweeps and stuff. It looked like he had great visibility when he was carrying the ball, and I thought that would have been a really good role starting out for him. He's a monster. He's a lot better than that, than just a little small role player. So yeah, I think he is the type of player, you give him the ball as much as possible, because he makes guys miss. He is fast. He just
gets faster than moving. Faster than he even thinks he is. I mean, if you go back and watch the Rams put out, like, the Cooper Kupp was the one who was on the mic during the game, and, you know, he even made a comment, Puka, you said you were slow. You said you felt slow in pregame, and he flew for that 70-yard touchdown. So, you know, sometimes that adrenaline, and he's faster than he thinks he is. And so, Puka's a monster. I'm so happy for him. There was almost a scary moment. We need to talk about that real quick. The scary moment where, like, he's limping off before the second half, and we're unsure if he's even going to be playing for the rest of the season, let alone come back out in the second half and make big plays again. He's putting himself out there. I mean, he's blocking. The Rams asked their wide receivers to block like no other wide receivers in this NFL. And he's putting himself out there, even though he just had a possible shoulder and rib injury. He's a dog. Every person on this Rams roster is a dog.
Dog, and credit to Stafford on that TD bomb. That wasn't McVay. That was all Stafford. He audibled into that against that look that they gave him on the first drive.
And this is why offense, you need that. No, sorry, go ahead. You finish and I'll.
Sorry. I was just going to say the offense does the opposite of what I just talked about defense doing on the first drive. The offense did a lot of troubleshooting plays to see the looks and the way the Browns defense was going to act to certain things and certain alignments of personnel. And you can see it paid off dividends.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The only comment that I was going to make, and I lost my train of thought about that, but shoot, I forgot. I'll come back to it later.
We can talk about, Robinson. What do you think of Robinson? I think I've been on the not the biggest fan of Ben Skowronek.
Sure.
And I really liked Robinson and what he provided from what we saw in preseason. I think he just looks like a solid number four.
I agree. Ben Skowronek, I think he's really good at special teams. And he's been helpful as a gadget player in some of these things, but every time he's been on the field this season, he hasn't really produced. And, I know there's fans who love Ben Skowronek. I love Ben Skowronek. Like I said, if we could keep him for a while and just keep him on the special teams, because he's really that leader on that special teams who's kind of making sure everything, like you watch him on special teams and he's kind of scouting the field and kind of making sure everyone's in their spots. And he's the one who's calling the ball back. He does a great job on that. He just hasn't really been successful this season as a wide receiver. They've tried to do some trick plays and he keeps getting stumbled back every time. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. I mean, he had two good catches this game, but nothing really to write home about. But as far as Robinson goes, I mean, this was really his breakout game of this year. And that's only because Van Jefferson left. We had Puka, you had Puka, Jefferson, and Atwell at first. Robinson's kind of new to this whole scheme. He's trying to learn things like that. Cooper Kupp comes back, and now you have lots of wide receivers that you don't really know what to do with. Jefferson leaves, and now you're kind of back into your flux. You have your main three, and now you're trying to figure it out. So I definitely think Robinson has kind of how you said, he's kind of taken over that wide receiver four spot and has really made a name for himself there. And he's got his first touchdown in almost a year. First touchdown as a Ram and his first touchdown since, about December of last year.
Not an easy catch, too. It was contested. It wasn't like the Cup where, he was kind of wide open because of his route. It was a little contested, and he made a good catch, and it was a good throw.
And when you have Puka Nacua, you have Cooper Kupp out on the field, those guys are going to get the looks by the defenders. And having someone who has that veteran experience, who's able to, also get open and be able to do those contested catches, just like you kind of mentioned, that's something in Robinson. And, that's kind of what we were missing last year. I mean, yes, last year we had Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson and Van Jefferson, and they kind of left, and Tutu Atwell was kind of wide receiver four, and that just didn't work out well for whatever reason. And I think they've really found a good core here that they can kind of build on going forward. So I don't know if they'll keep Robinson on for another year, because I don't know if Robinson really wants to be wide receiver four. I think he's going to want to look for somewhere where he may be in that kind of more 2-3 zone area. But I would definitely want to keep him on the roster if I could.
Yeah. Another person that we had to talk about is Higbee kind of went out with a slight injury. What do you make of these kind of backup tight ends? And I know we talked about they needed to step up and this tight end group needed to step up, and they had a really good game. I believe in Arizona, getting two touchdowns. But this game was, again, more of the same, at least with the pass catching element. But the blocking was there. I did like the blocking by tight ends. And
yeah, I think that's
it this game.
I think that when you see Higbee go down, I think you had to know that they were not going to be doing much throwing to the tight ends, that it was solely going to be blocks. They were going to either put 3-4 wide receivers out there, limit their tight end exposure to just blocking. I think that makes sense when you have someone, you have Hunter Long who's only been with the team, you know, an off season. He hasn't even played most of the season. And so I really thought that was probably the benefit of having that. Now going into this week, he's probably going to get more reps and we may see more coming out of it. But I would be not surprised at all if we don't have much of a tight end game going into this week. It's going to be more protecting Stafford, and that's where you should focus your efforts on.
All right, Zach, let's kind of talk about defense real quickly. Another one, your boys, John Johnson, got his first interception of the season. I love him too. I think it took a little bit too long to get him on the field. And we're doing a lot of 5 safety sets, probably because we're a little light now on the cornerback room, and they do not want Troy Reader on the field, even though Troy Reader is still getting on the field somehow in this year of the Lord, 2023. Troy Reader is still in coverage snaps, and it gives me PTSD.
It feels like that's more like trying to maybe rest some of the other players, like give them a couple break. Because again, a lot in the detriment to this defense is that they continue to have long drives. They have that more bend, don't break mentality. A lot of times we're really good in the red zone as far as defending against a touchdown. But when it takes 12 plays to get down there, your defense is getting tired. They're trying different packages to kind of make sure that their defense is playing at the highest level they can. And so sometimes you're going to have to put in players who you may not actually want actively playing, just to give someone, you know, 1 or 2 snaps rest so they can come back in and be able to help out during a third down situation.
But why is it this year on defense, Zach, that I feel worse going into a 3rd and long than a 3rd and 5? That is not how you should feel. This is going into a 3rd and long. It's like,
this is how I felt
3rd and 5.
This is how I felt for the last like 3 or 4 years. Like, this isn't a new thing. This isn't new to Raheem Morris. This isn't new to this has been the same defense pretty much since maybe Stanley came on. Like, this has been forever. Like, this feels even the Super Bowl
that
run.
Defense,
like, I kept getting
really
very
good on third downs. That's Staley defense in 2020 was really good on third down.
I guess it just feels like it's been forever that, like, any time over the last several years that we've had a 3rd and long, like, I rather have a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, or a 3rd and 1. And I think that we could defend ourselves better than a 3rd and 20, which is just ridiculous. They always seem to somehow be able to get it. And I either they're playing too soft or something, but like, I have no idea how in the world they're able to do that.
We don't have enough linebackers. That's why. Enough talented linebackers and coverage. And it's almost always over the middle to a tight end. That's what I've noticed. On 3rd and longs, teams will be able to audible down and like do a fade or something like that down the middle, straight over our linebackers or one of our edges that can't run. Like, I like Byron Young. I think he's had a lot of upside this year. He hasn't been good in coverage. Not terrible. He's not supposed to cover constantly, but still, like, it's one of those things in 3rd and long, like, if you're going to put a linebacker in coverage, I think that's partial scheme and partial, like, player probably needs to do a little bit better at that. Because Leonard
Floyd too focused.
Was underrated.
Oh, for sure. I think we were too – we're always too focused on trying to bring pressure to the quarterback to our detriment. And sometimes, when you bring both Hoyt and Young and, you know, Ernest Jones up – you really exploit that middle. And I think a lot of times they're trying on those third and longs for whatever reason to do it more. And they're just not failing. They need to play a little bit more softer coverage.
It's because our D-line can't get to the quarterback. Just for man rush, we can't.
Yeah. And that's just because that's how this year's going to go. We knew that this was going to be a problem. Even that, the defense is still playing well. We did get 2 sacks. Kobe Turner, again, another rookie who's really stepping up. The composer going out there and just, you know, making music happen. And
the conductor.
The conductor. What did I say? I don't know what I said.
Composer.
Oh, the composer, the conductor. Yes,
doesn't sound bad either.
Yeah, but he's been you know, getting that orchestra set.
Him and AD skipping along. Ooh. Between that and the Puka 70-yard touchdown, some of the best imagery we've gotten for the season.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So I'm very happy with how our team played as a whole this season. Obviously, John Johnson's interception really kind of sealed the deal for us. And, you know, really brought another level of excitement to this team. And so this team is ready to win. They want to continue to win. They want to get in the playoffs. They were the 7th seed for a whole whopping 3 hours, you know, because the Chiefs, for some reason, could not defeat Green Bay. So it is what it is. Another one, I think the only other player that I kind of want to mention is Akella Witherspoon. He's also been playing very well at that cornerback spot. I mean, really the kind of, you know, he's the star of that cornerback room right now. And so I'm glad he's one of my kind of like silent killers in the beginning of the season that I think that people were underestimating him. And so I'm really glad that he's still continuing to play at that pretty elite level. I know, you know, I was reading things and listening to I think even Jake Ellenbogen was just saying if you kind of compare him to Jalen Ramsey's best season, he's kind of matching that in some ways. I mean, he may not have all the interceptions, but as far as defending the pass and things like that and actually making tackles,
he's been a CB1. He's a CB1. We signed a CB1 for $4 million.
And he's one of the players that I want to make sure that they keep on. I mean, obviously we have defensive players we have rookies who we're going to keep on for a while, but as far as the free agency goes, he's one of those moves on top of Kevin Dotson. Those are two players that I think we really have to re-sign going into next season in the free agency market. So, you know, if I'm circling two, one on the offense and one on the defense for free agencies, it's going to be those two.
Yeah, Dotson should be relatively cheap. How old is Akello? He's 25 or 26.
28.
Oh, a little bit older.
He will be 29 in the autumn.
After this season, March. He should cost $7 to $8 million. I'm just ballparking it off of my knowledge. I don't know what SpotTrack has him at for projected contract, but I would imagine 7-8 probably with the year he's having, maybe 9, but I don't know if a team would pay 9 for a that old of a corner. But he's playing fantastic. I hope he stays on with the team. Jordan Fuller, another really solid game by him. Didn't really get a lot of the same stats like he did against Arizona, but he was doing the work. I was trying to keep an eye on him and coverage. It kind of sucks because in normal broadcast, they cut off the safety sometimes. And they zoom too far in, so it's a little bit harder to kind of watch them. But whenever they're in view, I try to keep an eye on just to see how he's doing. So really good plays by him.
And my only final thing is I really loved the Aaron Donald, Kobe Turner sack in the end zone, to get the safety. It was just fun. At that point, it was just fun. I honestly felt like they got the safety, the play before, but it's fine. They got it anyways. So
It wasn't fun for Flacco. He did not look like he was having fun.
No, he did not have fun during that time. But again, like I think for Cleveland, this wasn't a bad showing of Joe Flacco. Obviously, by the end of the game, things kind of derailed a little bit for him. But, you know, again, into the situation, I feel like as far as Cleveland goes, their season isn't over. I mean, they still have 7 wins. You know, they still have one better win than the Rams do. So it's their season's not over yet. Joe Flacco, I think, can be a very good stand-in until if they can figure things out on that side of the ball. So,
yeah, I mean, the Rams are used to a secondary, fourth their QB.
I'm going back,
doing good.
I'm going back to what I missed earlier about that. You know, the audible for Puka for the 70-yard. Yep. That, you know, I remember my thought is this is why you need a veteran quarterback. This is why you. If you go start looking at next year's draft and you're like, well, the Rams need a quarterback. Yes, I think for the future, they do need a quarterback. But the decisions that Stafford makes now is completely different than what you're going to get with a rookie. You know, you look at the rookies right now and they make good plays. They can throw the ball and things like that. But when you want to make an audible and you want to make a change, there's not that many rookies who are going to do that. Maybe Joe Burrow. You know, there might be a couple player, you know, younger quarterbacks who are going to do it, but that's going to take time and it's going to take development. It's going to take Stafford in the many years in Detroit. So I would always say maybe the Rams look at a veteran quarterback who they could bring in after Stafford. And maybe that's the route that we continue to go. But I do think that we will need a backup quarterback a quarterback at some point.
I think this is a rare draft in with such a heavy, rich set of QBs. I do personally want one in the second round to be able to sit and grow behind Stafford. One that's a little bit more raw, that isn't ready for the NFL, that needs to learn. And I think Stafford, as long as he stays healthy, he'll be a capable, very good quarterback for this Rams team, and we can win with him. And I think having a rookie sit behind him that's raw, like they're like a Bo Nix or like someone like that, someone who falls. Oh, I don't think Phoenix will fall, but like he could. Some people have Caleb Williams falling now. So like, who knows? We may not have to tank for Caleb as some fans thought earlier in the season.
I'm not in the Caleb camp. We could talk about that in the postseason, but yeah, I'm not on the Rams should pick up Caleb Williams. I'm not in that camp at all, but it is what it is. Lots to come, though, as far as our postseason draft, but hopefully not too soon. We still got.
Like, hopefully we have a postseason like conversation and maybe a postseason round. Maybe Santa will be nice, Zach, this year and bring us some postseason dubs. But you know, we got to make it there.
I think. Aaron Donald's been good this year. I think Puka Nacua's been good this year. Stafford's been good this year. Cooper Kupp's been good. Sean McVay's been good this year. I think everyone deserves presents this year. So let's make sure that we make sure that Rams get into the playoffs. One person on the naughty list shouldn't tank everybody, okay? Should not tank everybody. But we're not a tanking team. We're a winning team. And so next week we play up against...
We're an even team.
We're an even team. But this week, we go up against the other top defensive team in the league against the Baltimore Ravens. This is an East Coast game playing in Baltimore at 1:00 Eastern time. It's going to be a tough one. It's probably going to be, I mean, obviously there's two games left that are kind of circled as probably the toughest. And the best case scenario would be to lose these two games and win out the other three. To make a good playoff run. But the Rams are not going to give up on this. They're going to work their butt off to try to get this as a win. What are your keys of victory for them before we kind of talk about, you know, the Ravens themselves? What are kind of your keys to victory on how they can win this game?
So the O-line's gonna hold up because it's gonna, I think it's gonna be similar to the Browns game. I think the Ravens are gonna say, you're not gonna run the ball on us the entire game. You're not gonna do, and then they're gonna be like, try to beat our secondary. And we're gonna have to do the same thing. Stafford's gonna have to distribute the ball, and then when Kyren gets his moments in the second half, he's gonna have to take full advantage of them. Because if he can't, and we, especially if we get down, we'll be in a tough situation. This is gonna be a game where neither side of the ball can make a mistake. They have to play mistake-free football, and they have to execute. They have done that on offense, and for the most part, they've done that on defense in the last 2 weeks. They need to do it, and they need to start off hot. I feel like this Raven team, when they're forced to throw and when they get from behind, they can get in trouble. Lamar can make silly decisions. And I think that's what the Rams need to do. Whether or not they can execute that is a different story. And I think this young Rams team has struggled to put a lot of good quarters back to back to back. And against a quality opponent, we'll see.
100%. I mean, obviously, the key to victory is that offensive line. The offensive line needs to be able to protect Stafford as, just as well as they did last week. Sean McVay is going to have to make sure he continues to marry that run in the pass game, even though it may not work 100% up front. Just not getting away from it, keeping that defense honest is going to be key. That's my keys to victory. It's always going to be, that offensive line and run the ball. Because we have the talent, we have the quarterback, we have the wide receivers out there, we have the running back. But if you don't call the running plays, even though they're not always successful, or the O-line isn't performing, and again, like I've said in the past, like the offensive line has said this, like when you are trying to push the defense forward, it's different than always kind of having to be pushed back when it's a pass play, and giving that offense a little bit of the offensive line a little bit of wiggle room to kind of like not always have to be pushed back, but they're the pushers. Again, it just brings more confidence into that offensive line when they're saying, all right, I'm pushing, which means I'm doing my best to, get a hole for the running game. Passing, or when they're pass blocking to protect the QB, they're more, have to kind of get back, and then they could get pushed around a little bit more. So, as long as
I
we're
just
nimble
think
there and
people I take in context, like when they load the box, especially when the Browns doing it with that personnel, it just makes it so much easier for you to pass and you get so much open space. And with our wide receivers, with Puka, will tear that space up, especially like Tutu, especially early on, had some really good catches. So we got to replicate that, and when they start lighting up the box, that's when the O-line gets to have their fun and get to go in the trenches. Because if you try to run against that loaded box, outside of like every so often to keep the defense honest, it ain't gonna be fun. Not gonna be fun.
And as far as the keys to victory for the defensive side of the game, it's going to have to be that contain that run, contain Lamar Jackson. You look at him, and between him and his top running back, they're fairly even as far as carries go. 141 carries for Gus Edwards, 112 for Lamar Jackson. Edwards has 590 yards. Lamar Jackson has 574 yards. 10 and 5 touchdowns respectively. So the rushing is really where they're going to hit strong.
Keen Mitchell too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Keenan Mitchell's been there as well. He's down to 29. He's had 29 carries. He's only played 6 games, but he's one of those players who I think is also going to be that kind of that big threat as well, like you mentioned.
Yeah, stopping runs can be a big part of that. We just want field goals. I don't think we're gonna get stops against Lamar, like three and outs. I just want forcing field goals, Zach. If we get the
And
Ravens in the field goals, we'll have a shot.
And this is a good chance that the Rams could again have those third and longs. And the problem is going to be Lamar's legs. Lamar can get 10 to 15 yards, no problem. I mean, he's averaging, what's he averaging? 5 yards.
Honestly, Lamar is one of those people, just keep him in the pocket. Don't even have to sack him. Force him to do a 15, 20-yard throw. And we'll see if Zay or OBJ can make some plays against our DBs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it's rookie against rookie as far as the wide receivers go. I mean, you got Puka Nacua versus Zay Flowers, and obviously Puka Nacua has, overall better statistics than Zay Flowers. As Zay Flowers has kind of, more recently came up to, hitting all those, yardages and things like that. But Zay Flowers is their top receiver right now with 58 receptions. Targeted 80 times for 613 yards. OBJ is 3 as far as that goes, which again, this is going to be a reunion. We forgot to mention that. It's going to be a reunion for the Rams, getting to see OBJ back again. Both teams are full of, love of each other, but ready to get this game on and, not cheer for the other person during this week's battle. But OBJ, he's played 10 games, only has 27 receptions. For 408 yards and 2 TDs. He does have 1 fumble on him as well. So you think OBJ is going to be a big threat against us this week?
I think he might have some extra motivation that the coaching staff of the Ravens may try to take. And I don't think he has ill will against the team. More like he wants the ball out against his, former comrades. Like he wants to show his bros like he still got it.
Yeah, I mean today in OBJ's kind of press conference, he kind of alluded to this, and he's like, the Rams gave me back kind of my motivation and gave me back my passion for this sport again. And he gives the kudos to Sean McVay for believing in him and getting him on board and things like that, and just the mentality that this team has brought. I think there's love on both sides of this, but again, this is the football game. This is, each team appreciates what the other person did for them while they were there, while they were here for that, that 2021 Rams. But it is a football game. They're going to throw their best at each other. And I cannot wait to see what happens. Hopefully ready for the Rams for victory. Biggest thing, obviously, for the Rams fans is that they're really their number one wide receiver, basically their tight end, Mark Andrews, is out on IR, so obviously will not be participating this week. That is the second biggest threat outside of Lamar Jackson, is off the table going into this week's game. Any final things you want to say about this week's game?
Just a big game. It is a game we can technically lose and still be in a good situation for the NFC playoffs. I do think, though, Zach, if we can pull off the upset, that would go a long way in the playoff hunt. That could be a signal to league. You potentially could be in the playing for the 6th or even 5th seed in that situation. You got to play the game, and it's every Sunday. So like, teams pull off upsets all the time. A team just has played mistake free, and we'll see. Big game. And I will not be at this game. I know for a while I've said this was one of the games I wanted to go to. It is an hour away from my house. Just way too expensive, and the tire went out on my wife's car. So, life told me, said no go.
Yes,
life and said no.
So as far as I'm giving you guys Baltimore's weather forecast for Sunday, it's going to be a high of 64 degrees, with rain likely, potential for heavy rainfall. Chance of rain is 100%. Not looking super great as far as that part goes. The Rams,
it's not like they're a running team, so it's not like they don't throw the ball a lot. So
yeah,
you know, shouldn't be a big
we'll see how this, we'll see how it goes. But hopefully the weather forecast changes. It's 4 days from now. You know, maybe the rain will hold off a little bit. I don't know what, whether we
want rain or not. Ben Skoranek will be able to do a jet sweep in the rain. Just saying.
Slip and slide. Slip and slide. All right. Again, we're really hoping for the Rams to win this one. If you, please leave your comments below in our YouTube channel, if you would, of your score predictions. Let us know what you guys think about what's going to happen. Tell us what you think about Mason Crosby joining the Rams. All that can be done down in the comments below. Thank you, everybody, for your for listening each and every week. We do this podcast, even if, you know, some people take a vacation and they kind of forget all of their normal, you know, end of the podcast routines. Please make sure that you check us out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@EastCoastRams. You can find me at Zach Mayer. You can find Ashton at RamFanAshton1 on X. You can also find us at East Coast Rams on X. We're on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on all the platforms, trying to keep our content the same everywhere you go. So whether you're not a fan of X, but a fan of Threads, you could do that. Instagram, you name it, will be there. You can also find us on any of your podcatcher apps of choice, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcast, for however long it's still available. You name it. Ashton, anything else you want to say before we wrap things up?
Nope. Everyone, hopefully good Thanksgiving. Rams keep on winning, and Merry Christmas. Tis the time for giving, and hopefully the Rams get more wins.
That's right. We got a, you know, just a couple more weekends before Christmas. We got a Christmas Eve game, I believe. That will be interesting against the, oh no, we don't have a Christmas Eve game this year. It's the 21st. We get a Thursday night game. So that will be super exciting against the Saints. So we get to celebrate Christmas without interruption of a Rams game, where our attention would be 100% focused and not on the family. I'm not going to lie. But anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Please leave your comments below, and we will see you all next time. Bye.